sign not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. Now it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking around on this Monday morning. We hit the halfway point. Man, time flies when you're having fun. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, Dale Jackson from WVNN, Yellowhammer News, and other places. But joining us now, and I wanted to get him on before we go to vote tomorrow, but it's always a pleasure to introduce Congressman Robert Adderholt from the 4th Congressional District up in North Alabama. Congressman, good morning. How you been?
Doing well, Jeff. It's good to be back on with you, and especially on Election Eve here. It's an exciting day. Well, of course, tomorrow's going to be the real exciting day, but just everybody, you know, getting ready for tomorrow. But I think all the Republicans should feel pretty good about going into tomorrow. At least that's the impression that I'm getting. We know Alabama is going to go strong for Trump. It's going to be, a blowout for Trump. So I think he's going to do extra well here. And, of course, the district I represent for the last two election cycles, 2016 and 2020, Trump has led with the highest percentage of any congressional district in the nation. So I expect that may be the case again. So we're I think it's probably going to be a long night, and I'm not sure we're going to know the results. I think it's going to be close, but I think Trump's got the edge right now.
And that's important. You know, you represent the most Trump district in the country. In terms of enthusiasm, and you've seen it several times. It's a different, it feels like a different kind of enthusiasm. It's not just sort of 16, we're going to make America great again. It was like a change election from the Obama years. It's sort of a combination of, yes, we really like this guy, Trump. Plus, boy, these last 4 years have been pretty terrible. It's a, I don't know, it's maybe not as exuberant or misguided or whatever you want to call it, but it feels bigger than it has, and especially if you look at the crosstabs in different demographics. Trump may not be leading with African American men, but boy, he sure has made some ground up there, Hispanics, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, and one thing that I think that really about a week ago that really also gave me a lot of encouragement about Trump is the fact that if I was, you know, you're like me, you'll flip around to different channels trying to see what different news outlets are saying. And I was added on CNN of the morning to seeing what they're saying about the presidential. And they were giving the case that that for Trump, actually. And anytime Trump, they're giving the case for Trump. And I say they were not actually, you know, we know CNN doesn't not pull for Trump, but what they were saying is anytime that you have this many people, like 75%, I don't know the exact number, of the country feel like we're on a wrong track, the incumbent party loses in the White House. And that goes way back, and I think back to Eisenhower. So we're talking, you know, maybe even more than that. But I know they were counting back even to the 1950s. And when a party in power in the White House, if most of the people of the country say you're on the wrong track, and especially if only about 25% say you're on the right track, then that means there's going to be a change in the White House politics. So, you know, that's exactly what we're seeing now. People feel very concerned about the economy. I would just notice an article, and I think it was I read this morning, the Wall Street Journal's got Nikki Haley, that she's finally coming out that for Trump. Of course, she said she's for Trump, but it's good to have an article in here where she's saying that Trump is the better choice. And in that article, saying at 13, the average American is $13,000 more it costs more living expenses than it did 4 years ago. Now that's on the average, but if that's average, that means a lot more. So, I think a lot of people feel like we're on the wrong track, and they want a change in the White House.
Yeah, it's just it's hard to see people. The problem with Harris is she didn't really go through the vetting process, and that's fine. Democrats can do whatever they want to do. But I feel like the exposure for her, like, that might put her back. She's having to play catch up, and we're having to get to know Kamala Harris a little bit. I know they may have had to have done what they had to do with Joe Biden and move him off the ticket, but the way they went about it put them at a strategic disadvantage because the public, I don't think, is quite there yet with her. Maybe they could have gotten there, maybe not, but you know, we know what Trump is. She's still, up until the last few days, trying to define herself.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on with that. And I think that people are just unsure about her, don't know exactly where she is on a lot of the issues. But and they know where Trump stands. And, you know, if for no other reason, just from the national security standpoint, I think most Americans feel that we're safer with Donald Trump in the White House. And obviously that plays on the point that also where the border has to be looked into and they has to be solved, or the problem's got to be resolved. And she is not going to do it, but Trump will definitely do it.
Joined by Congressman Robert Adderholt here on the program. Let's talk a little down ballot. First off, overall, the House, your chamber, it doesn't sound like that you're bracing for a big loss and Speaker Hakeem Jeffries, although it's certainly in the realm of possibilities, but how does it look for the House?
I think if I had to call it, I think that we will, as Republicans, will hold on to the majority. As just to remind your listeners, we're right now have a 4-seat majority out of 435, so it's very close. But I think at the end of the day, we will hold on the majority, but it will be by a very slim margin. We have a lot of seats that are toss-up races for Republicans, and that they're going to be in very close races. And we may lose two or three here, but I think we may gain two or three in some other locations. And I think at the end of the day, we'll probably stay around 3 seats or 4 seats in the majority. So we're going into it having 4 to our in the black. So that's better than having 4 in the red like the Democrats. So I think we're going to lose some, we're going to gain some. It's at the end of the day, because we've got a majority right now, we'll probably hold on to it. The Senate, I'm very optimistic about the Senate, just the races the Democrats are having to defend. I think that we will get at least 52 seats. I think the West Virginia seat is already Republican. Manchin gone. I don't even know who the Democrat is that's running in that race, and nobody else does either, and probably not even in West Virginia. And Montana, Tester, I think, is finally in this presidential election year, I think that he is going to lose, so we will pick up that seat. That puts us at 51. And then between Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, I think we'll at least pick up one of those seats. So I think we'll be at least 52, and we could be 53 in the Senate. So, which is very important. So we could have a sweep. The Trump and the House and the Senate both being Republican. So, but again, it's going to be by very slim margins. And so everybody will have their work cut out for them.
How you feel about the second congressional district now? I mean, this will be a big change. Shamari Figures pulls it off. And I think he's in good shape. But only based on polling, and you and I are talking about this off air, only based on polling that I don't think the pollsters have really perfected the art of pulling this district, but I mean, are you hearing anything there?
Polling has changed.
Right.
Polling, I think, has changed everywhere. I mean, people have cell phones now. You know, back in the day, everybody had a landline and you could call, but now people have cell phones and there are different areas, and they may have a cell phone that has one area code, but they have moved into a different area code or a new area, and they've kept the old number. And I think it's exactly right. The polling has changed tremendously from what it was years ago. So I don't think we can count on it like we used to. And obviously, and I saw on 1819 News this morning where, it shows that while figures may be ahead, the gap is closing. And if Trump has a very strong, which, of course, Alabama is going to be very strong for Trump. But if the second district, the Trump voters come out in full force, I think they'll obviously vote for Caroline. And so I think she's got a very good shot at it. And so I would definitely not count her out, even though some of the polls are showing it's going to be very close with the Democrat leading.
Yeah. And, what we haven't really figured out yet is the Trump factor on the ballot. What does that do to get out the vote? What does that do to turn out? Especially in a state that we know it's going for Trump, does that matter? Does it dissuade Democrats? Does it bolster Republicans? I mean, like, we know Alabama is going to beat Marshall or whoever their cupcake is on the schedule, but people still go to it, right? You still go through the motions. You still partake in the election. And, that's for the CD2, it's hard to really pin that down.
Well, the district lines, just changed. So there'll be a lot of people that'll be actually going to the ballot box thinking they're one district and they're going to be in another because they've changed. I know I've experienced that up here in the 4th Congressional District. We, of course, had to, after you have a change that people were, and I've literally had people tell me that they'll have two spouses, a married couple will go and have different people to vote for Congress and how that can happen. as like one guy was talking to us, like, does the line go through our house or what? So there's going to be a lot of questions. So I wouldn't count Caroline out.
Well, and she's run a pretty decent campaign.
Very good campaign. Yeah, I see her everywhere. She's been everywhere. She's done all the right things, and she does a great job. And we claim her a little bit up in the 4th district. Her mother grew up in Coleman, in Alabama's 4th district, where I represent. So have a little bit of claim to Caroline, and so it would be nice to have somebody with a very close connection that's half her genes are from the 4th district.
Well, and the delegation, as far as that goes, typically you guys pretty much work well together. You and Congressman Sewell work really well together. I mean, y'all are always doing stuff. You've helped her with some of the wastewater stuff and sure. She's done some stuff with some of the Space Force. I mean,
She's been a team player in that regard because we've, Alabama, we've got a small delegation but of course, obviously every seat's going to count. And I know she's going to be she's on the ballot. We have a Republican running in that seat, but the delegation as a whole, we work pretty closely together because we do, we are small compared to some states. I mean, there's a lot of states that have less than we do, but we have to work very closely together, and we do. And we know that if we're fighting among ourselves, it's not going to help anything. And so we try to work together the best we can. And after the election's over, we try to work together. And I know that'll be the case this time as well. But like I said, we've got some good chances for Republicans in this race coming up in Alabama. So, hopefully we'll know, unlike some of the states, we'll know tomorrow night, by 11 o'clock, we'll know how things are going to be, what the lay of the land is.
Yeah. I guess I've always kind of wondered this, and we assume some things in Alabama. Are they like do other states have that sort of relationship? I think Mississippi or wherever, where the congressional delegation sort of works like it does together. And you've been at this a while, Congressman, but it's always sort of seems that way historically, that the seven members kind of team up on things when necessary.
Yeah, we do. We do. We, like I said, we realize we're working for the state, and we have to, and what's good for something up in the area that I represent up here in the 4th district, if the folks down in the southern part of the state, they know that if we have a chance to get something that they are all in, and then if they're getting something and we're all in North Alabama to try to encourage them to. So we know that, you have to work together in order to make things happen. So I think Alabama has one of the better delegations that work together. I know some states, even among the Republicans, they don't even get along, and they're sometimes don't even meet. We meet monthly in Washington. I help organize, being the dean of the delegation, I organize the luncheon, and we meet once a month and just casually get together, have lunch together. Our two senators, Britt and Tuberville, will come over and join us. And if there's something pressing that we need to get each other's attention, we have a captive audience there. And so it works. It's worked out well.
Congressman, always appreciate your time. Let's reconvene later once this is all said and done, and you get a good recap in.
Yeah, we'll dissect what all happened. And thanks for having me on this morning, and we look forward to tomorrow night being a good night.
Congressman Robert Adderholt, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Underneath the mountain moonlight, hold her up tight, make a little loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life, oh, so right.